Traffic jam. All right, our scripture reading for this morning will be Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, and it will be up on the screen for you to follow along. So hear the word of the Lord. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. So may God bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Father, open our hearts, even as we see a familiar story, but truly the greatest story ever. The sending of your Son for the redemption of mankind. We thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Waiting, surprised, and some even excluded. You know, in our culture, Christmas involves a whole lot of waiting. Waiting to get gifts, especially as a kid. Waiting to give gifts. You ever bought a gift and you just can't wait to give it to somebody? It's almost as hard as waiting to get a gift. Family reunions we wait for, family get-togethers, Christmas programs we go to, and for some they look forward to some extra days off from work. That's always nice. And so there's a lot of waiting Christmas. There's a lot of surprises at Christmas. I remember a couple years ago, I think it was last year that Abby got Kelly a wooden cutting board, and on the cutting board was engraved a handwritten recipe that her mom had handwritten. And of course, the minute she recognized what that was, there was just great tears of joy, and today it hangs in the kitchen, and really a neat, neat gift. A couple of years ago, my kids got together and had a portrait of me painted, of me playing the trumpet from a picture I did at a cemetery, and so that was that totally surprised me. I thought it was just a photo I could see kind of through the wrapping paper when I saw it was an actual painting. So it now is on the wall in my house. So that was a great surprise. But I remember a few years ago, Abby got Stephen this gift, and it was a Velcroed wristband, magnetic wristband. And so if you dropped a tool or a nut or something, you could put it on there and whatever while you're working on the car or whatever. And I think Stephen opened it, and to his great surprise, I think his reply was, "I don't want this." Was that right? Or very something like that. "I'll never use this." So Abby cried tears of joy. And I think that even the next year, didn't somebody wrap that and give it again sort of as a gift? And so anyway, that's kind of funny. I hope somehow it shows up again for this Christmas. So there are good surprises, wonderful surprises, and some that make us laugh later. So there's waiting and there's surprises, but some are excluded from Christmas. Some miss it altogether. I've known people that just hate it. They hate the music. They hate that some radio stations play Christmas music from Thanksgiving till what, Christmas or December 31st? Or they can't stand it. They hate the busyness in the stores. They hate the trees. They hate the lights. They hate the traffic. They just don't like decorations. Some miss it because of religious beliefs. And to remind us, we're never commanded to celebrate Christmas. So if somebody chooses not to celebrate Christmas, that's okay. This is just something that we choose to do. But if it's a heart problem, then you've got a problem. If they're not worshiping Christ on Christmas because they reject the Christ, they're excluded. Not because of anything they do on Christmas, but because they're rejecting the Savior and why he came. Some are away from home at Christmas. Many today are in the military and can't be at home with their family. They're overseas somewhere. Maybe they're a missionary. Maybe they're in the hospital. I think Tim put a post on social media that one Christmas he was in the hospital and he missed some of the things he enjoyed doing at Christmas. And although he didn't miss Christmas, in a sense, he missed a lot of what happened. Some in the nursing home. Some just far away from home. They can't travel, you know, and they can't sing, "I'll be home for Christmas," right? So there's a lot of waiting. There's a lot of surprises. and some people are even excluded. And so it's no different from those in the Bible. There's a lot of waiting for the Christ child to come. Ever since Genesis 3:15 was announced, that we've been looking at in our Genesis series, the coming of the promised seed, the coming of the evil seed, and the battle of those seeds, there's always been waiting, waiting for that seed to arrive. But little by little, God revealed the coming of his seed. In fact, there are several scriptures that let his people know he's coming, he's coming, he is coming. Jeremiah says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land." That's Jesus, but that was told years before Jesus ever came. The prophecy to King David in 2 Samuel 7, "And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." There will be somebody sitting on the throne of David, and his name is Jesus. That promise was given to David so long ago. In fact, one of the favorite titles in the New Testament of Jesus is the Son of David. Son of the King. You are the King, and you are Son of the great and mighty King David. Even greater than King David. In fact, whenever you read in the Bible people needed mercy, almost always, what did they cry out? "Son of David, have mercy on me." Because the king was to be a ruler, a leader, but he was to have compassion. He was to have grace. He was to meet the needs of people. Matthew 1:20 says, Matthew 1, the book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David. So in the beginning of the New Testament, Matthew 1, we find out that Jesus, of course, is this son of David. In Matthew 1:20, "But as he considered these things, Joseph, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." And again, God let people know, "My son is coming." Micah 5:2, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days." So we find out that he's a ruler, he's a king, he's the son of a king. He is going to be born in a little town called Bethlehem, and over and over and over and over, the verses we read earlier in Isaiah 9, his name is Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, his kingdom there will be no end. Daniel talked about it. So all through the Old Testament, God says he's coming, but you're waiting. Now you think of the wise men. Now you realize the wise men came about 2 years later. I know they're in our manger scenes. But the wise men came a couple of years later. They were stargazers. They were king makers. You were not a king of Persia unless you learned what the wise men, the magi, taught. And when they saw the glory of God, I do not believe it was a star like we have, because that star landed over the place where Jesus lay, and stars are huge. It was the glory of God in the sky. And they traveled a great distance. If they didn't arrive until he was two, they had to wait. They waited. Simeon in Luke chapter 2 is an interesting character. We find out in Luke chapter 2, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was a righteous and devout man waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. So here's this older man who for years waited for the coming of Christ. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, Simeon took him up in his arms, blessed God, and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. My eyes have seen your salvation." Think about that. Here's this man, we don't really know how long, goes to the temple day after day after day after day. God told him, "You will not die until you see my son." Every day, watching. I wonder what he thought when parents walked in with a child. Is this the Messiah? Is it? And then they walked right by him. Oh, I can't die yet, right? I can't go to heaven yet. Waiting. Anna in the New Testament. Anna in the New Testament. Listen to this, 36 to 38. Another prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She's 84 years old. She lived all those years without a husband, and her main job was to wait for the Messiah to come. And then as a widow until 84, she was 84, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping and fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Israel. So here is Anna, who is waiting over 80 years for the Messiah to come. And then she mentions at the end of this verse, not only Simeon, Anna, and all the followers of God, she spoke about Jesus to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jesus. Now, you and I look back. They were looking forward, so to speak. When is he coming? When is it? We know what happened. They simply were waiting. You know, when I was a kid, I remember waiting for Christmas was probably the hardest thing you ever had to do. It would never get here. Now, as an adult, time moves so fast, it's just like crazy. I'm 110 years old, and I thought last week I was in grade school, it seems like. But I just remember waiting. Because kids love getting gifts, right? It's purely a self-centered thing, but, you know, or kid, right? We love getting the gifts, and we have to wait. And it would never arrive, it seemed like. Now, to me, Christmas Eve night as a kid was an eternity. I couldn't sleep. You know, it's just like, I know there's going to be gifts under the tree, and you're just tossing and turning all night long. Why? Waiting with anticipation to receive something. And that's what these people were doing, waiting on God with anticipation to receive something they were promised. You know, the great thing about waiting on God is that he always does what he said. And it's always in his perfect time, and it's always, always the best for us. I love this verse in Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. While we wait on God, although we know the Messiah has come, we still wait on him. In the Old Testament, waiting and trusting are synonymous. When you're waiting, you're automatically trusting. And when you're trusting, you're waiting. One Hebrew scholar defined this verse like this. He has made everything that falls out to us at its appointed time. The beauty consists in this, that what is done is not done sooner or later than it ought to be, so as to connect itself with a constituent part to the whole of God's work. In his world plan, all things beautiful falling out at the appointed time. And that's the same thing for you and I. What you're praying for, what you're trusting God to do, it will happen in his perfect and beautiful time. So we wait, and we stay faithful, and we trust God to do what he said. In fact, this Psalm 27:14 says, I missed that verse. Galatians 4:5, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. So Jesus came in the perfect time when it was beautiful. There were roads in Rome so that the message could easily go out. The Greek world had one language. It was all just perfect. It was a perfect time for God to come. So we are to wait for the Lord, be strong, and have our hearts take courage and wait for him. And so we wait as well. Also, they're surprised. Many were surprised. Many were surprised. How would you define surprised? Caught off guard? Shocked? Wasn't expecting this right now? Maybe you went into a lull a little bit and then, whoa, I forgot all about that. You know, God is always present, always. He never leaves. He knows everything. He learns nothing because he knows everything. He planned everything. He is history. But yet, the psalmist always prayed for God to show up. I like Psalm 44:23. Awake, why are you sleeping, O Lord? Rouse yourself. Do not reject us forever. You ever feel like that? You're praying, you're trusting God. It seems like he's just asleep. And it's over and over in the Psalms that the psalmists say, God, why are you sleeping? Wake up. Come and rescue us. Surprise me. God, surprise me. It feels like you're gone. It feels like life just is going on the same, and I'm not seeing these promises. God, wake up. Surprise me. A natural cry for those who are in trouble, who are in distress. You know, God surprised a lot of people in the Christmas story. He surprised a whole bunch of people. It's an amazing thing. Remember to think of Abraham. We talked about Abraham. One day God just showed up and said, follow me. Believe in me. Leave your father, leave your mother, leave everything. I'll take you to a land I'll show you. What a surprise. What about King David? You know what King David was? He was a shepherd boy. Every day he went out into the fields watching those sheep. In fact, God said, I called you when you were just a shepherd boy. Now, therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. So there is David out in the fields every single day, God preparing him to be king. What a surprise. And God even says, I took you from the pasture. I stepped into your life. I surprised you. Think about the Magi, the wise men, stargazers, kingmakers. More than likely, they heard of the truth of the coming Messiah from Daniel. Remember, Daniel was taken to Babylon in captivity. And Daniel taught the other Magi. Daniel was a wise man. Daniel was a Magi. It's a very good chance that Daniel taught them Numbers 24:17. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Talking about Jesus. And it's a very good chance that when the Magi saw that shining glory of God in the sky, that they connected it with what they were taught years ago when Daniel was there. What a surprise. So suddenly, here's this glorious, shining glory of God. Wow, what a surprise. Remember Zechariah? Zechariah the priest went into the temple. In fact, they often would put bells on the bottom of their robe and tie a rope to their leg in case they went in there unworthy and God took their life. They could drag them out of the tabernacle. That'd be kind of nerve-wracking, wouldn't it? Going in there, and I'd be ringing them bells all the time on purpose. I'm okay. Well, Zechariah goes in there, the husband of Elizabeth, and all of a sudden, Angel Gabriel shows up. Your old barren wife is going to have a baby. And he did not believe. And God took his speech. He could not speak until the baby was born. Talk about a surprise. Gabriel showed up a lot in the Christmas story, surprising people. And what a fun job, right? Elizabeth was surprised. This is Zechariah's wife. Elizabeth, I know you're old and your baby factory has been out of business for a lot of years. In fact, she never had a child. And you are going to be pregnant. And not only are you going to be pregnant, you're going to have the forerunner of Jesus, John the Baptist, we call him. And he will lead the people to repentance before Jesus comes. What a surprise. I mean, think about it, Pat. If all of a sudden today an angel showed up and said, Pat, you're pregnant. Oh, yeah, you know, that'd be the end of peanut brittle, I'll tell you that much right now. Mary was surprised. Mary, a teenage girl, godly teenage girl, had never been with a man. Gabriel shows up again. What a fun job Gabriel must have had. I mean, that must have been awesome, you know, shocking all these people. And, of course, Mary was greatly troubled at the sight of Gabriel the angel. And he tells her, you are with child. Talk about a shock. How can this be? I've never known a man. The Holy Spirit shall come upon you. The Holy Child within you shall be the Savior. He's come to save his people from their sins. Joseph was surprised. Think about Joseph. He's betrothed to Mary. He loved Mary. Joseph was surprised when all of a sudden he got a note from his friend Bill or whatever. Hey, I think Mary's pregnant. Don't know how he found out, but he found out she was pregnant and he was going to divorce her. Talk about shocked and hurt and broken. Until God informed him that which is in her is of the Holy Spirit. She has not betrayed you. The shepherds were surprised. I mean, the Christmas story is just surprise, surprise, Gomer Pyle, surprise, surprise, surprise. The angels are out there. They've done their shepherding for the day, and it's dark, and, you know, the sheep are just eating, and it's quiet, and the fire's going, no doubt, and all of a sudden another angel shows up. Doesn't tell us Gabriel, but I got a feeling it was him. And he tells them the good news. Over in Bethlehem, the king has been born. Now, not only is that enough, and it says they were greatly afraid because they said, don't be afraid. Not only that, but then all of a sudden, a untold multitude of angels show up. I could just see him in heaven before that, you know, the leader of the angelic choir. All right, let's practice the song one more time. Let's get it right. Glory. Let's get it right. Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. All these great things. All right, go. These angels fly down there, and the sky just fills up with all these angels. Talk about shocked and surprised. Every one of these, they just were going about their daily business, being faithful to God, going about their daily business, doing their thing, serving the Lord, and all of a sudden, God just stepped into their history. Now, God is history. It was planned forever. He wasn't surprised, but he surprised everyone. So what's the lesson for us? I think it's as simple as this. Never give up. Never give up. You and I have no idea when God's going to step in, answer that prayer you've been praying, touch that heart of that family member you've been praying for, reach that friend, reach that coworker, reach that husband, wife, daughter, son, cousin, whatever. Never give up. You just never know. Never allow the hardship, the difficulties, the trials, the disappointments, the hurts, the impossibilities to keep you from waiting on God to surprise you. You know, if we lose that, I think we're a pretty dull, boring person. Don't ever lose the hope and faith that God is in charge and that he can come down and surprise you. Now, you and I may be long dead before he answers that prayer we've been praying for years. Right? We might be. God may answer that prayer. God may answer that prayer through your death. You just never know. I was reminded of this great verse in Corinthians. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing in the Lord your labor is not in vain, and that one day he's going to step in and surprise you. I added that part. Christmas story is full of surprises. And lastly, a lot of people were excluded. Remember King Herod got all nervous and afraid because he heard that a king was born in his region, the king of the Jews. That was his region, his district. But he was excluded from benefiting because of fear. All he feared was his own rulership. You remember that he called the wise men? Hey, where is your king to be born? Now, wouldn't that, if you were, not the wise men, the religious leaders, wouldn't that kind of make you think, why is this king? I mean, they were home probably eating their camel soup that night. It was not Campbell's. It was camel soup back then, you know. And the wife had made a great dinner that night. And all of a sudden, the messenger comes to their house. And I don't know how many showed up there, but we got to go see the king. Wouldn't that make you think something's up? And then, remember when the Magi showed up? He talked to them about what they had seen. And he said, you go find a babe and come back and tell me where he is because I really want to worship him. Liar. God told the wise men, don't you go back. All he wanted to do was to find the king and kill it. Why do you think that he sent out the decree 2 years and younger, to kill all them, to kill the baby Jesus. Remember what God told Joseph? Take the baby and get out of town. So Herod missed it. The religious leaders missed it. Now, I would hope that if I was called to the king, and I was a religious leader back then, and the king said, where do your scriptures, where do your holy writings say the baby, your new king, you're waiting for is to be born? And they gave him the perfect answer. We read it earlier. Bethlehem Ephratah, though you'll be small among all the clans of Israel, out of you shall come forth one whose goings forth are from old. Boom! A plus, Bethlehem. The Bible doesn't say anywhere that they went and checked it out. Wouldn't you at least go check it out? Why is the king asking this right now? The shepherds ran, did they not? The shepherds ran to see the Jesus in the manger, and they left glorifying God and telling everybody about it. But here are the religious crowd. You know, they had the nice suit on, and they knew all the Bible verses, but didn't even think to go see, maybe our Messiah has come. No surprise there. Excluded. Absolutely excluded. You see, the Jesus that was sent is only given to a few people. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. That's the correct rendering of that verse. God's goodwill to people is only bestowed upon those whom he is pleased. Only upon those for whom he opens their eyes to believe. Everyone else is excluded. It's all about Jesus. At the end of this verse, it says, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. That's pretty pointed, isn't it? This is Jesus. You listen to what he says. What does the Bible say, he said? Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given among men by where we must be, among men by which we must be saved. Wow. You know, there's coming another surprise. And we've seen this in our later studies we've been doing. Matthew 24, they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. Talking about Noah's day. What a surprise. They saw all the animals coming. What a surprise. Didn't jump on the boat. They heard Noah preaching. No, didn't matter. Their lives were too important, going through the daily routine of life. But the rest of the verse says, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. When Jesus returns, the second coming of Christ, it'll be just like Noah. People will be absolutely surprised. We're going about our daily lives, and we forgot about what's important, and this is more important than Jesus, this is more important than serving the Lord, and many people don't even know Christ, and they will be swept away, never, ever, to have eternal life. Scriptures clearly say, just as it is appointed for man to die once, after that comes judgment. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin. He's not going to die again. But to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. So we are still waiting for him to return. Well, Christmas is full of waiting, surprises, but sadly, some are excluded. The first two are great. Waiting for the coming of the Messiah. We look back. He came. We trust him as our Savior. We are now waiting for him to return again. The surprises God brings into our life when we are waiting and trusting. Those are great. The third one's horrible. The third one's a tragedy. To be excluded because of unbelief in the gospel message. I like this hymn we sing, Christmas Carol. How silently the wondrous gift is given, wasn't it? Only a few people were there. The religious leaders didn't show up. There was no king there. The princess didn't come all over. The wise men didn't get there till probably 2 years later. Joseph and Mary and the baby. Well, maybe the innkeeper heard some noise and walked out. See, what's going on out here? Oh, yeah, the baby. Good deal. I go back and serve some more grog in here or whatever. Then the shepherds show up and went, wow. Very silently given. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. There's no trumpets blaring. There's no angels flying around. It's simply God opening a dead heart and that dead heart realizing, I am lost and I am a sinner and I have no hope apart from this babe in a manger who lived and died, was buried and rose for me and paid for my sins. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. And that's great hope, is it not? Father, thank you for the reminder of Jesus Christ and his coming and so many who waited for the Messiah. And you stepped in and surprised so many people. In a sense, surprised us when you awakened our dead soul that we might see our hope and need. And how sad it is that so many are excluded, who reject you because life on earth is more important. Thank you for sending us the greatest gift of all, for people will pay for their sin for an eternity in burning fire, never to end. Lord, if there's anyone here today, and the Spirit is not born from above, and the Spirit of God, help them to see and give them your light. Help us that know we are your children to never lose the thrill of waiting for you to surprise us, to answer our prayers. And thank you, Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and sing.
There shouldn't be music on.
Lower the volume, Noah. The main volume, like the computer, it says computer volume. Mute it. There you go.
Worshipped and adored the Son of God.
hope to see you tonight at 5. And I think we're going to have